Okay, welcome back. This is part two of our meeting tonight. Looks like we've everyone has rejoined us that was here during the first portion. This is the budget work session of the Gustavus City Council, and Treasurer Ben Sadler is going to lead us in this meeting today. Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley. Treasurer Ben Sadler. Last year I did this for the first time, and I just followed the direction that Phoebe set up, and so I'll be doing that again tonight. I'll try to go through it slow. If anybody has any questions, just stop me. I can't see the people at the far table, so if I don't see you, just call out. This is a work session, not a meeting. I mean, I guess it is a meeting. But anyways, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to go through each line item, line by line. I have documentation for where these numbers came from, and I'd be happy to stop and explain it if anyone doesn't understand what they are. The admin fees, I'll just say. So I'm going to go ahead and start with income. This is for the FY25 budget. The admin fees is not something that we have anymore. It's going to continue to stay on there until the FY21 or July 21, 22 drops off. As long as there's a number in a corresponding column, it'll still be on this report. Business license fees, I have at $3,500. That's based on the amount of money that we've generated in the past, the amount of money we've generated to date, and how much we expect to generate before the end of this fiscal year. We should be at $3,500, and so I base next fiscal year's on that at $3,500. The donation interlibrary loans is the same as the admin fees until that $20 drops off in 2 years. That line item will continue to be on here as well. Donations of $500, that is library income. The library expects to receive at least $500 in donations this year. So the next one is DRC income, the community chest sales. Budgeted 13,000. When Ian and I first talked, I had lowered it a little bit, hoping that we wouldn't need to raise it back up to around what we budgeted for last year. But when I needed to find more revenue, I went a little less conservatively and put in $13,000 for sales. If we don't quite reach that number, I believe that the DRC's income will make up for whatever. But you could see that last year we brought in $12,759, and so far this year we're at about $10,000. And the seasonal employees haven't started showing up yet, so I think we'll see some more money because of that. The landfill fees and sales, all these kind of get grouped together in the budget. You know, what's paid at City Hall, what's paid at the DRC. So that's why you see the actual columns have 35,761, 38,715. And then the budget column has 75,000, just because we don't really know where they're going to pay, but we expect them to pay at least that much. Last year, in the we go back 2 years ago, Tom suggested that the DRC budget their income a little less conservatively, and he raised the budget to $115,000 for the DRC. Last year, Paul asked me to lower that number because he was afraid that we might not bring in that much money. But we're actually on track to bring in more than that amount. And so that is why I have the DRC landfill fees and sales at 100,000, because I think that's a more realistic number than the one we put in last year.
Question, Ms. Taylor. Do we expect to have the fee schedule stay the same for the
That
coming year?
was something that Ian brought up to myself and to Kathy. That's I think a council decision if Ian suggests that. but we did not pursue that in our conversation. Recyclable material sales. These are recyclable materials that we send out of Gustavus. Some things that we send out of Gustavus, and Ian can correct me if I'm wrong, like plastic actually cost us money to send out, but things like metals and sometimes paper, we actually receive money for. And so last year, Paul wanted us to budget $3,600. So I went with the same thing. But if you go across the actuals, so far we're at $1,800 this year. We were at $8,500 the year before, $51, $78, $36. So I think that $36 is a very conservative number, but I think that's okay. So that's what I went with. And then the total, you see we're at $116,000 for the total for the DRC. And if you go back to the last final year, we were at $114,000. In the previous year, we were at $114,000. So we'd be expecting a little bit more than we've received in the past. But I felt comfortable with that. So, okay.
So I'm sorry, trying to see this, if we haven't. Kind of, I guess, a partner item in the expenses you mentioned for the recyclable materials. So is this what you might call like our net profit, or kind of net the expenses plus what we're making?
Nope. So it costs us money to ship it out, and sometimes it costs us money to have someone receive it, and that might those will be reflected in the expense portion. But that's a pure profit would be the $3,600. That would not include the amount of money it costs to ship it down south, ship it out of Gustavus, et cetera.
Okay, so this is just raw revenue.
Right.
Sorry, my accounting term. So we're not.
No, that's exactly right. Yep. Okay, so federal revenue, you can see right off the bat that that's somewhere where in the past 4 or 5 years we have received quite a bit of money from the federal government, not as much this fiscal year as we did the previous, and again, not as much as the previous year to that, but we do still know that we will receive national forest receipts. $45,000, if you kind of go across the line over the last 5 years, you can see that's about what we get. National forest receipts comes in at the end of the fiscal year, so we've not received that yet this year, nor do we know how much it's going to be, but we expect it to be around $45,000 this year, and so that's what I budgeted for next fiscal year as well. Payment in lieu of taxes, I budgeted $130,000 for FY24 because in FY23 we received $130,000. And in FY25, I budgeted $150,000 because in FY24, we received a little over $150,000. So, you know, it's basically all we can do is assume that we're going to get approximately the same amount that we did in the past.
If I can chime in on this one too. So I get a little bit confused between National Forest receipts and the PILT money, but I know that this was something that was up for discussion during the borough. It's PILT that we have learned is based on our population in the area, and the National Forest receipts that we're still not certain how they calculate that. Is that how that is?
I think that question is it. Kathy, can you?
Yeah, I don't have the answer. I pointed at Kathy.
Well, this was just in a sort of a casual conversation with Jed Smith, but I've still asked him to please somehow verify that. They're still trying to find out from the various agencies about the forest receipts. We use ours for roads, and I believe that we have to send in how many miles of roads we have so that it's predicated on that. And, you know, we update it as we add roads to our maintenance budget. But it still has to do with the geographic region, the way I understand it. So hopefully we're going to get answers soon. The PILT, according to Lisa Murkowski, was fully included in the federal budget. So I think we're okay with that at the rate that it's at right now. But the forest receipts are always kind of a, like Ben said, it doesn't really, we don't really find out about it until May or June. So that's, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that's good.
And then do we use the PILT money for anything in particular? Is it encumbered like the forest receipts is, or is it just go to the budget?
It just goes to the budget.
So when we're looking at the federal monies, it really, if we take out the, so the rescue plans, it's pretty much in the ballpark of other years. Is that correct? It seems that the ones that aren't is like the things that were the COVID monies and the rescue money is what we're losing.
That's correct. That is what we're losing. We're hoping to make more this year than we have in some of the previous years off those. But yes, the money that we're losing is basically the COVID money. All of the COVID money is pretty much dried up for us.
And the FEMA stuff. Got all reimbursed, that 220 or sorry.
You're right.
Yeah, 220,000 has all been already reimbursed and sort of moved out of the checking account as the checking account grew beyond the percentage when Ben would NCO the money out.
Right. And that was a money bill that was for a specific thing, right? Correct. After we had the flooding.
It was reimbursement for that. Yes. Are we ready to move on?
Yes, and I'll just remind council members if they could give their names before speaking for Madam Clerk. Okay. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Fundraising. I have to look. I believe fundraising was all for the library as well. Yes, because at the DRC, it was events and celebrations. So the fundraising income was the library's expected revenue from fundraising off of the t-shirts, I believe. Yes, okay. The grant income is also library grants. It's the PLA grant, which is $7,000. And is something wrong there? The OWL grant? Well, I know it's the OWL grant. It's only $6,000. I'll have to look at that. I don't want to stop this for that, but I'm gonna look at that again before I will look at that again. But that is the OWL grant.
Can I jump in?
Well, I'm sorry.
What's up? Can I jump in? So I'm actually not quite sure about that number because so the OWL grant which is E-rate is $14,400. PLA grant is $7,000. So I'm not quite sure where that number is coming from. I'm not sure if E-rate actually counts as a grant because of the fact that I'm new. I apologize to everyone for not understanding that. But go ahead, Ben.
Okay, thank you. So I can explain that. The $14,400 is what Byte Networking receives from the E-rate program. That money goes directly to Byte to offset the cost of our internet. Then we receive an additional portion, which we use to offset what we're charged for internet on the remaining amount. So the $14,400 is different than what I have here. But again, I'll look at that and I'll get, maybe before the night's over, I'll have an answer. But I don't want to stall out on grant income.
So this is Janine Driscoll. I have a question that as I'm looking through this, I have to say it's a little bit difficult to follow. You have the library things seem to be interspersed throughout the page. It would be easier to conceptualize if they were like, you've got the fire department L in one place and the DRC in one place, but these other things seem to be just scattered. Would there be a way to make it more readable if it was categorized?
So it's in alphabetical order. That's not something that I did. That's just the way it's set up. But that's why you were given these additional pages. These were for the departments.
Well,
so
the DRC income then has bullet points after it. Would it not seem like the library should have bullet points after it?
That's a good point. Yes. I'll take care of that.
I think the difference is one is just like receipts of revenue and the other one is grant income. And so it could be itemized. Yes.
Yeah, it could. You're right. If the grant income, if we were also putting in $6,000 for the fire department, then the fire department would need its own grant income column as well. But it's okay. I can definitely fix that.
Because I still have this question on this $13,000. Does this include the PLA plus something else that you're not sure?
That's correct.
And so then what other grants do the library get? Are they indicated somewhere else?
No, it's just the OWL grants, the only other one. The ACF grant is the only other grant that the library has open that I'm aware of. And it is, it's not listed in here because the money was received in 2021 or 2022. So it's not income that we'll be receiving.
And is that the same as the E-rate?
E-rate is the OWL.
That is the OWL.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying, you're not sure what the amount is.
That's correct.
Yeah. But you're thinking it's the difference between this 13,000, which is this.
I believe it's 6,000. I just don't know why in my. I'm not going to say that it's 6,000 for the OWL grant, but that's what I think it is because that's what I think it is. But without being able to look at it, I can't say off the top of my head.
And then does that PLL grant come with any restrictions on the funding or on the spending of it?
Yes. At least half of the PLA grant has to be spent on library materials. The other half can be spent on other library needs.
Half of it can be spent on other library needs?
That's correct.
And I just want to ask, since the librarians are here, I want to ask if they agree with that.
Since I just walked in. I looked this up specifically, and it says that.
Sorry, Melissa. Could you come forward to the? Could you come forward to the microphone?
Yes. Hi, Melissa. Go. It says the fair value rate of volunteer labor used to operate the public library up to a total number of hours the library is open, 48 weeks. 10 hours per week or 480 hours, or I'm sorry. Yeah. 480 hours. So yes, the grant does actually cover not just materials. It covers the volunteer time too. So,
but we don't pay for the volunteer time.
We don't, but they calculate it at a certain rate per hour because of the fact that so many libraries in Alaska are run either completely by volunteers or partially by volunteers.
So that means if of that $7,000, it's still not clear to me what we can spend that $7,000 on. We have to spend half of it on the materials.
$3,500.
I'm sorry.
$3,500.
So we have to spend, well, you're right. We only have to spend $3,500 on materials, but the goal is to spend all of it on materials. But the important part is the fact that we have to match half of it. And that $3,500 needs to be paid on something that is contributing to the library. And that actually includes the volunteer labor. So we definitely have enough. It's like $33 or something like that they calculate the volunteer labor at. So we definitely are covering our half of the grant of $7,000. Am I making sense?
No, I'm still not sure because we have this half of it gets spent on materials and the other half is out there for volunteers, but we don't pay the volunteers and we also need to match it. And so I still, it's not clear.
Right.
This is Vice Mayor Taylor. Am I understanding correctly that the volunteer hours are allocated towards our matching requirement?
They are.
Yeah. So then if they're calculating that at $33 an hour, then we're putting like 15 grand of our money in volunteer hours towards the matching requirement. Does that free up some of the grant for other expenses, or affect what we can spend the grant money on? That's what
all right. So I'm hoping that you're going to help correct me if I'm. Oh wait,
I would like to point out that years ago, when some libraries were having trouble matching, when they had a $7,500 grant, and they used to even have a matching grant beyond that that they got rid of over time. Okay, the state did. They had a matching grant and they had the PLA grant. And they eventually got rid of the matching grant, but some libraries were having trouble making the cash match. So they allowed you to use the value of the volunteer time. We're not paying volunteers, we're not, but the fact that we have 40,000 dollars, whatever the budget is, you can match it with anything. You don't have to match it with volunteer time. They just allowed that way back in the day because some people didn't have enough of a cash match. So that is the way I understand it to work. And so the volunteer, well, it's important to capture and we can use that. It's not necessary because we're still funding the library with 10 times that amount. You know what I mean? So that was just a tool to allow libraries that didn't have the income to use as a match.
Okay. And so then the money that comes in, is it like the encumbered in such a way or something that if it's coming as materials, do we need to spend that on materials or do we have options to spend it on other things?
It's materials.
It's the whole full amount?
Yes, the $7,000, as far as I understand.
$3,500 is mandated to go to materials, right. And then you can do whatever you want
but
with the rest.
The rest of it we can do anything with, but that's what we use it for. We purchase materials, yeah, because we don't pay our volunteers, and we have expanded it to different types of materials where we haven't before. Before we didn't include our magazines or our just subscriptions, different, and now we do. And so that all falls under that umbrella.
Okay.
So this is Ben again. And during that interlude, I was able to find out OWL, we received $3,000 for OWL. So I've already marked it here. I'm going to change that. I don't know what the extra $3,000 was for last year, but when I moved, I just figured if we had $13,000 in grant money, I was thinking that the OWL grant was $6,000. Then when we started talking about it, I thought that's not true. It's not true. So I'm going to change that to $10,000 from $13,000 in grant income. Okay.
And if I might add, just the Schools and Libraries Corporation's portion that is paid on behalf of the E-rate, that has never, to my knowledge, ever been included. We just budget for what we have to pay to BiteNet, and then the OWL covers some of that the way I understand it. And so E-rate has never been really incorporated. If you really got the true value of what the E-rate is paying, it would be huge.
It's $14,400. We pay $240 a month for internet at the library. The E-rate pays $14,400 plus $60 a month, which comes to $3,000. Okay, so we'll move on to GVFD income. Ambulance billing, again, this is kind of who knows, you know, hopefully we're not making so much money off of people riding around in our ambulance. But you can see over the years, 10,000, 7,000, 7,000, 13,000. This year, it's currently sitting at $460, and that's because we wrote off $4,400 worth of prior year's bad debt. So we're really closer to $5,000 at the moment, and we do have outstanding bills. If quarter of the claims were paid by insurance companies that we have open between now and the end of the fiscal year, we would make well over $9,000. So I thought that was a fair amount to go forward with again this year. ASP is the ambulance subscription service. You can see we're currently at $925. People pay this throughout the year. So, you know, if everybody paid it in January, we'd have a good idea of how much money we were really going to make off this. But it's kind of hard to tell. Last year I said $1,500. Currently we're at $925. That includes anybody who paid from after July 1st to December 31st of last calendar year. So some of those people may end up paying again. I don't know. I thought this year maybe $1,000 was a better estimate because I'm not sure that we're going to reach the $1,500 that I budgeted last year. Training, Sol and Johan and maybe Leah will be trained to train people. And so Sol has been putting on basic life support and CPR classes. And so that's that $150. Is it $10 a class, Sol? And that includes their book and the stuff. Okay. So again, you know, $150 is what we budgeted last year. We're currently at $20. So I thought just go ahead and budget $150 again if we can make up $130 somewhere else. But I didn't want to go overboard and I didn't want to put nothing in there. So again, if you kind of go across when you get to the total GVFD income, you can see based on prior years, approximately the same, maybe a little conservative. Maybe a little conservative, but I think I did that throughout the budget. So gravel pit sales. Interest income. Interest income, you have actual numbers there, but no budgeted number there and no budgeted number from the year before. To be honest with you, I'm not. It's interest on our FMBA account. It's not interest for any of our capital accounts. It's not interest on our endowment fund account. So that must just be the interest on our FMBA account. I don't know. There wasn't anything in there. There was actual numbers in there, but there wasn't anything on prior year budgets. So I didn't put anything into this year's budget. It's not the same as interest and penalties, which we'll get to at a.
This is Councilmember Driscoll. So what about as we're changing all the monies back and forth because of the interest, is that reflected in this something?
No, this is the general fund budget. It has nothing to do with any of our capital accounts.
So last year during a meeting like this, we were talking about the potential of starting moving the money in. And I remember there was some comment that was like within a month and a half or 3.5 months or something, we would be making like $5,000 interest potentially, which could then make up for some of the budget deficit things. And so I'm thinking we've had that discussion and I'm curious if we'll end up with the discussion again at some point as to why can't we, or maybe should we include that monies into this working budget?
Okay. So what we decided when we changed the policy for the AMLIP accounts was that once a year, the treasurer would present the council with these are the accounts. These are the balances and this is the interest we've made so that the council could discuss what they wanted to do. And so I did mention when I first put the budget together with everybody's asks, we were about $212,000 short of what everybody wanted. And one of my first thoughts was, obviously, we can't make up all of that with interest off the AMLIP accounts. But when we sit down and talk about the AMLIP accounts, that would be a question for the council. Do you want to move some of that money into the general fund to pay for some of these other projects or road maintenance or whatever? I don't want to misquote our current mayor, but I believe that she said that we should try, or I'm going to paraphrase actually, that we should try to balance the budget without pulling any money from our savings account. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I did not try to budget using interest income from our savings accounts. But when the time comes, that would be a discussion for the council to decide. The one thing is that we decided we wanted the council decided they wanted the reserve account to be equal to or somewhat greater than the amount of that fiscal year's budget. If this fiscal year's budget, when it's all said and done, will be less than the reserve account because of the amount of interest that reserve account's making. So then I would question the council, do you want to use this money? Do you want to put it into long-term projects for future projects? Or do you want to put it into road maintenance or library materials or payroll? You know, that would be, it's a question for the council, but I have not included it here at all.
And when does it happen?
Because last year was the first year this fiscal year is the first year that policy has been in place. It was my intention to get through the budget process and then to talk about the AMLIP. It would be a lot of the same thing on top of the same thing. So I thought once we got this kind of hammered out, that then there would be at a regular work session, we would sit and talk about the AMLIP accounts and what the council, how they would want to direct me or whatever. Mike has a question as well.
Yeah, I'm just going to suggest, when we went through that process, the council could appropriate that interest to this particular budget line.
Absolutely.
As income.
Yes.
Yep. So, and it is income to the city. So
it is.
It should probably be recognized somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Vice Mayor Taylor. I'm interested in, I kind of like the line of logic that you're coming at this from, of let's not bank on and include in our operating budget the interest income. But I am torn because I think the Mike makes a good point where we should recognize it somewhere, whether that needs to be in the operating budget. I don't want us to become dependent on, you know, making a cool 5% on our $2 million in the bank and then rates go down and suddenly we're $100,000 short. So I think that's great for us to not recognize that de facto and say, this is money that's available for us to use. But I'll trust you as the accountant to know if that needs to be recognized necessarily in the operating budget or if we're doing that appropriately somewhere else. But yeah, if we get to a point where we have something that we want to fund and, you know, we have the money from the interest, I'd be happy to add that to this line item or, you know, appropriate it directly to something else to fill a budget shortfall if we needed to.
Okay. Yes. And that, okay. I did make that suggestion as an option, but my first task was to balance the budget without it, which I wasn't able to do. So, anyways, if we're okay with moving forward, then I'll make a note here. I'll also get, maybe might be too late for the May agenda. We'll have to talk about it tomorrow. The May agenda, the June, work session agenda. I'll get the AMLIP, on there and give everybody the numbers, what we've made since, you know, in this fiscal year on interest. And we can discuss how we want to apply that. If everybody's happy with that. Okay. Okay, gravel pit sales. So the gravel pit for years made us less money, and then we doubled how much the cost of gravel was, and then it started making us more money. not just that, but like with Aetna coming in and doing all the work out at the park, they purchased quite a bit of gravel as well. And so last year we saw an increase from the previous year of $17,000. Yeah, $17,000. This year we're already at just $5,000 short, and we haven't received the third quarter or fourth quarter. From the previous year was $44,640. This year so far we've received $39,936. But we budgeted $40,000 last year, and I budgeted $40,000 again this year. It's we can count on the more money because the increase in the cost, but we can't expect there to be Aetna's not going to come out here and build another park housing. So I thought that 40,000 was a reasonable number based on the fact that we've already made that much in this fiscal year. And I do, there's a few places where I'm going to kind of stop for a second and say that Kathy and I had proposed to Shelley that instead of putting, when we get to the expenses, maybe, never mind, I'll wait until we get to the expenses and I'll do it there, but I'll just do it there, never mind. Lease income. So if you go across the years, you see we were making about 13,000. Then we started making about little over 14,000. And this year we're at 9,190, but I budgeted 16,000. We will receive the whole 16,000. And before today, I was trying to figure out why I thought we were going to make $2,000 more than we had been making. And today it occurred to me that it's because we're renting out the old PO building. So that's actually going to go, that budget line's not going to be 14,000. It's going to be $16,011.
This is Taylor. There's an expansion on one of the lease areas for the cell towers down there that is going to have additional income. Right? Am I wrong on that? What was that?
No, they're going to be doing things inside the footprint to upgrade and do various things. Remember I sent that to you?
Yeah.
And your suggestion was because it was inside the footprint, we don't increase the lease. Okay. Yeah. So they're not expanding to our knowledge.
Okay, thanks.
They also said that while they were in there, they would clean the area. That's is what it is, but you know, it's something. So and go to my notes here. I believe the reason why the library income is $2,000 is because based on what the proceeds they've returned to me so far this year, plus what they gave to me between March 18th last year and the end of the fiscal year equaled up to around $2,000. Does that sound about right, ladies? It would include everything other than the fundraising and the donations.
To be honest, I'm sure that your numbers are correct. I don't know if they are comparable to last year's because I'm not necessarily doing everything on the same schedule that people have done in the past because of the fact that this is my first year. So I'm not necessarily getting deposits every 2 months or 3 months or whatever it is. I'm still kind of trying to figure it out. I know that is a terrible excuse, but
it's actually, I don't think you need to make any excuses. You've been giving me the money quicker than maybe I had received it in the past. So, yep. No. Yeah. No, that,
so,
that was the number I came up with. I don't see anything here in my notes. And so I'm going to go with what I said, that it's based on what I've received and what we have not yet received. Well, it's meeting room fees and it's copies and all the different, there was, I think the last time Melissa brought a deposit, there was hundreds of dollars in unspecified cash from the cash box. Right. So yeah, book sales, whatever, DVD sales. Okay. So on to marine facilities income, the facilities usage fees, that is landing craft landings. The landing craft pays $100 for each landing. Last year we budgeted 2,000. We've already made 2,300 and we still haven't received two quarters of payments from them. So I think that $2,600 is a fair estimate. Kathy?
Not sure when he's going to be coming back in, but don't forget he was out of operation for about 3 months this year. So
Okay.
We may not
tomorrow morning.
Well, right. But I'm just saying that there might have been three landings that aren't accounted for.
Okay.
Because of the time down, the downtime.
Right. Well, and like I said, we've already made more than we budgeted for in this fiscal year and next fiscal year. I think that 26 landings is, well, you can see actually that would be less than any year except for when COVID started. So the 12,500, the commercial vessel registration is $500 per boat. And last year, I know at least one operator stopped operating on the dock, and both of the largest operators ran a couple less boats. So I went with 15,000 last year, and I went with 12,500 this year because I thought that that was based on the amount of boats that were taken out of service last year that we could count on 12,500. Private vessel registration, again, if you just go across the board, it looks they're $60 per boat. We're at $21.60 this year. Again, that's when people start coming back to town and using their boats, that number will jump up extremely quickly. And if you go across 5,000, 5,500, 5,300, 5,700, 5,000 seemed like an appropriate conservative estimate. Storage area fees, that is the long-term storage. We charge $150 per spot per year, calendar year, or we charge $20 per month. I went with $2,600 because we have people waiting for spots. So our spots are all full, and $2,600 was, when I did the math, how much money we should be making off of it. That other income, again, that's one of those line items that'll drop off after the other years. I don't know who started the other income line items, but I'm trying to do away with other income. It's just not a very good category. State revenue, I got a letter a few weeks ago about CAP, the Community Assistance Program, and it stated that we would be receiving $75,122.49 this year. I sent in our application today, and the state confirmed that they did receive it. So June 1st is when, I guess June 1st is when they make the announcement. Everything had to be in by June 1st so that they could tell everybody. In past years, they've said, we're going to give you 75,000, or, you know, guessing at that. And then they gave us 83,000. That is possible. But the number that they gave us was $75,122. So that's what I put into the budget.
So just so you know, it's calculated. So the CAP is included in the power cost equalization funding unit. And the interest from that fund is, it's kind of like a rolling 5-year, what they make on their investments is what gets allocated out after the PCE to the communities under the CAP. And because we had a couple of years of not such good interest rates, some of the amounts are lowered. Sometimes the legislature holds harmless the difference and will include the other amounts in, and sometimes they don't. It's a negotiating tool that they use every year. So that's why they say that this is what we're going to have based on their formula. They gave us more last year because I think they held it harmless and put that out there, but we can't depend on it because it just, the governor's got his red pen. So we have to figure, you know, it may or may not be included is my point.
Okay, the liquor share tax, not 100% sure what that is. So that's why I've left it there, but we don't receive it, or we haven't been. The shared fisheries business tax, you can see I budgeted $632.77 because that's for last fiscal year, because that's what the state told us they were going to give us, but they didn't. They gave us $244.41. This year, they sent us a letter saying they were going to give us $258.69. So that's what I put into the budget. The tax income, this is where in the income columns, in order to get the budget close to balancing, I had to be a little less conservative than I would have been had that not have been the case. So what I did on all of the categories in the tax income is I took what we have right now from this fiscal year and what we made between March 18th of the previous fiscal year and the end of the previous fiscal year. If we were to make the same amount of income between now and July 1st, then we would easily make all these numbers, but it's still not nearly as conservative as I would have hoped to be. So I'll just go through them. Retail tax income, when I originally put it into the budget, I put in $420,000 because I thought that was a nice conservative number. And in order to bring the revenues up to meet the expenses, I increased that to $440,000. I do think that that's possible, but it was not my first choice. The remote sellers, I put at $75,000. Unlike the retail tax, you can go back and see that in, whatever it is, 1920, so FY 20. It was, yeah, that's when they started out. We made $12.49. And so AML has been actively pursuing more customers and finding more places to get money from. So the next year, about 18,000, then 47, then 65, 67. 67 is where we are right now today. I budgeted 56 last year, not knowing what we would, and or this year, not knowing what we would make. Based on their estimates, we should easily make $75,000 this year with the new sources that they're going out and finding. They did say that in the next few years, that's going to kind of plateau and kind of even out, and it won't continue to increase. But right now they are still out finding, I don't know, say Amazon. We already have Amazon, but they're finding these other companies that are sending products here, and they're getting us the money.
If I can, yeah. Just as someone who works in e-commerce, this is something that I see a little bit. And I say that my experience lines up with what you're saying, where there's still software that's being built out and made more and more available to ever smaller stores that automatically calculates this for people. So they don't have to have $8,000 a year tax software. So, you know, that's when you get the Amazon that signs on. But now when you have something that you can get for, you know, say $100 a year, if my store's only making, you know, $1 million or something a year, and I can afford that nicer tax software that is going to put me into this pool. So, but yeah, eventually that's going to make sense that it would plateau.
Yeah. And another thing that happens is people call me up and they say, hi, my name's, you know, John Doe Roofing, and I'm going to come and do a roof in Gustavus, and I want to figure out how I'm supposed to tax your customer or the customer, but you know, I don't want to deal with your business license and everything else. Instead of saying, you know, well, that's just how it is, and then they come to town and don't pay us anyways, I'm telling them, we'll just go to the ARSSTC. You don't have to have a business license with them. All you have to do is just remit your taxes to them. They'll take their fees and remit it to us. And they told me at the conference that a lot of communities are doing that. They're not just finding these people by themselves. People are telling them, you know, like, hey, do it this way. And it's actually better for the community that we don't have, you know, 50 companies a year starting up a new business, a one-time deal that we have to do all the same paperwork, whether it's one tax remittal, or if it's, you know, if it's 12 tax remittals. So, it's been working out. And I think that $75,000, that's not as not conservative as the other numbers. I think that we'll make that easily, especially considering we're already at $67,000 this year. And obviously we have months left before the end of the fiscal year. The room tax income last year, I budgeted at $100,000. And then when the GVA wanted $5,400 more to move the sign, I felt like the room tax income was where to put that number in, and that's where we put it. And this year I put it back down to $100,000. Same as with the retail tax. If we make the same amount of money between March 18th and July 1st as we did last year, we'll come in right about $100,000. So I think that that's, again, not as conservative as I would want to be, but I think that's a fine number. The fish box tax, that is the fish box stickers that the lodges buy to send fish out of Gustavus. Maybe I didn't need to be so conservative here, but it's hard to tell. I'm looking at the numbers across the line, but I'm also seeing who came in and bought them last year. If we had a dedicated employee who could stand down at the airport and watch every box of fish that goes out, we could probably make a lot more money off the fish box stickers, because I'm not 100% sure that all the fish boxes are getting stickers on them. But I put $6,000 because I thought we would make at least that. Oh, okay. Apparently Alaska Airlines has volunteers. It isn't, you know, sometimes I get calls and, you know, and at home to let me know that I should drive down to the airport and see all the boxes of fish that are going out without stickers. Unfortunately, that's really not my, I'm not the enforcement for the city of Gustavus and just the treasurer. So, but if Alaska Airlines has the volunteers, I'd say great. You know, we would just need, the city administrator just needs to know who the offending parties are so that they can be notified that they need to be doing the right thing. That I think that would be the proper procedure there.
He wants to make me the sheriff. So anyway, I did talk to someone at Alaska Airlines and ask what it would take, because that's really not their wheelhouse either to do that. And so volunteers could, you know, be a whistleblower, so to speak, and we could ask them to do the right thing, but unless and until we get, an agreement that Alaska Airlines agrees that they're not going to ship the boxes of fish without the stickers, then, you know, our hands are still tied. Now, I'm not saying that they wouldn't do it, but I think it would take a lot of negotiations to get them to be able to do it. And they still may not want to. So the discussion has only been had at a very low level, but if it becomes a huge problem and then you're noticing a lot of that going on and a lot of lost revenue, then maybe it's time to have a conversation with some of the, you know, up the chain. So anyway.
And until further notice, Kathy is the sheriff. So sorry about that. And I did get a picture last year. Somebody sent me a picture and they told me who had dropped the boxes off. I got in contact with that lodge and they said that they were out of town and that the employee didn't realize that when you put fish boxes on the ferry, that they required stickers, and they did pay for all those boxes in hindsight. But it is what it is. It is what it is. That's what I put in, $6,000. Maybe that amount could be more. I don't know. You know, if you guys think that's fine, that's fine with me. Last year, I tried not to put in any money for penalties and interest because I wanted to bet on the community to not be late. And in the end, we needed another $1,000. So we put $1,000 in and we've already made more than that in penalties and interest. So this year I put in $2,000 based on the amount that we made, the March 18th to July 1st, the amount that we had made between those dates was another $800. So I thought $2,000 was a appropriate number. Tax exempt cards. We are getting more businesses understanding the concept of and purchasing tax exempt cards from the city. So I think that $300 is a fair amount, even though it's more than all but last fiscal year. They were all right around there. And like I said, we do have new businesses that are requesting them. So the numbers are going to change by $1,000 from what you see here. It's going to be $1,000 less. So the total income that I've budgeted for FY25 is $1,115,931.18. That's approximately $38,000 more than we brought in last year, or that we budgeted for last year. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
I may have missed it there. Did you? We dropped $3,000 out up with, near the top. Did you just include that?
Yes, I dropped the $3,000 and then added the $2,000 that I had forgot for the old post office, which I believe at some point the council was going to rename that to something else. Remember, we didn't want to call it the old post office anymore. But so why don't we just start calling it the Gustavus Bike Shop, because that's what it is at this point, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. I did not plan that out. No, why?
You're not allowed to take action at these meetings.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Lisa. Okay. So, anyways, I said that was $48,000 more than we had budgeted for last year, but it's not so much more than where we're at. We're almost at 100,000 when I made this back in March, last time I updated these numbers, and we still have 2 quarters left. So I'm thinking that the income is easily obtainable. And that's what I'm hoping. That was my plan. So does anybody have any more questions on income before we move on to expenses? Okay. Administrative costs. The $35,000 that we budgeted last year was for the audit. And when I get ready to do the budget amendment, you'll see that the audit actually costs us around $46,000. So we'll be amending last year's budget to reflect that. But we don't expect to exceed $750,000 in federal and state funds for FY25. So I've budgeted nothing for an audit for FY25. Advertising. The only thing that I am aware of, the only thing I'm aware of that we've budgeted or that we've advertised for since I've been working for the city was for employees when we had open positions. And I'm just hoping that we don't have any open positions. So I didn't budget $100 this year for advertising. And we haven't spent any money in 3 of the last 5 years on it. So I think that's a safe assumption. Bad debt. Just waiting for that column to drop off as well. Bank service charges. Here, there's a large increase from previous years. This fiscal year was right at the end of June, beginning of July, we added the online payment portal. And people who used to pay their sales tax and other fees with checks are now paying with their credit cards. The city pays approximately 3% on every credit card, every dollar of credit card sales. So our fees have increased exponentially. And I don't think that $13,000 is based on at the rate we're going today. It's going to cost us about $13,000 in credit card fees to continue to operate the online payment portal. It was suggested, once it was seen how much money it might cost, that maybe we offer an incentive for people to not use their credit cards. But when the idea was pushed forward, it was with, let's offer the same convenience that the rest of the world has. which is being able to pay things with your credit cards. And so I'm, you know, we offer you this convenience and now you really like it. So now we offer you the opportunity to not use it. I didn't necessarily want to go that route, but if the council would like us to pursue something like that, we can. But I think that the people who are getting the miles are loving paying their $10,000 a quarter in taxes with their credit cards.
Yeah. I'd be interested to explore. So again, e-commerce are working with payment gateways, and there are some options for direct debit bank account, like ACH transactions, where you're going to pay like 30 cents total per transaction, or like 0.35 of a percent instead of 3%. So significantly lower. There would be a question about, so that would be, you know, kind of like a middle ground where we don't eat, you know, $10,000 in fees a year, but we still offer the convenience. You know, they're not getting their miles, but that's because we were paying for those miles essentially when that happens. So the question would be, as far as technology and whether or not that's something that we can integrate into our site, I'm certain, and whether or not the city would be willing to open a Stripe account. They're the one that has probably the easiest integration to run that through. But if we were willing to open an account with Stripe, and then we can check with the website and see if that's something that they have a way to plug that in, that's not an unrealistic thing for us to bring into reality. So I'd be happy to work on that and see if we could make that happen, especially if that opens up $9,000 in the budget. That'd be really nice.
And with the IT people, this is Shelley, the IT people coming in this week, is that something that they can help us with, to Dermot?
We'd have to ask them. I'd be open to asking them. I'm not sure how much of our web hosting they do. Maybe Liesl does.
I think that's going to be more of a email to MuniCode help site. And they're really fast at getting back. I mean, they usually respond within 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So that's something we could ask maybe while tonight. I could even send out an email, or maybe Brian, you can help me draft it after.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then draft something. We could have an answer for ATS, but typically all the website information gets pushed off to MuniCode, who is our host.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we can explore
it. And we do receive ACH payments from some of the bigger businesses like ACS or, I don't know, State of Alaska, stuff like that. But the smaller things like the independent charter fishermen, you know, I don't know what all is involved there, to be honest with you. If that's easy for us, easy for them, then I would definitely be interested in looking into that. So, yeah. Thank you, Brian. Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is Janine. So is there any thought, if we know that this is going to become the norm of people paying credit card and there's that 3% charge, of putting our fees 3% higher?
That's a, there's a, that's not a good practice, first of all. Some businesses around town are doing that where I'm not saying that they're doing anything wrong, but you see that on their invoices. They're saying that they're charging a 3% fee for credit card stuff. The city of Gustavus is not a for-profit business. It's a community service. And so charging 3% for you remitting your sale, you know, you collected the sales tax and then you remitted it to us. And now we're going to charge you 3% because you're not remitting it the way we want. You're remitting it the way we offered, the convenient way that we gave you to do it. That just seems kind of like a slap in the face to me.
So most of this is coming from people paying their sales tax.
Yes. So say a charter fisherman who pays yearly does $100,000 or $1 million in business, and he owes, I don't want to have to do any math, he owes $15,000 in collected tax that he's collected from the people that he's taken out. He then pays us his $15,000 with his credit card rather than giving us a check. The merchant services then charges us 3% of $15,000 for accepting it. We had even a 2 years ago, we had somebody put in an extra zero. And so instead of charging somebody $900, they charged them $9,000. We had to pay 3% on the $9,000. And then we had to pay 3% on the refund of the $9,000 as well. So it's but we haven't had that problem in a while. And let's hope that we don't have it in the future, but it's just people, you know, the bigger businesses in town actually pay by check. But the charter fishermen. No, it's not just charter fishermen. Charter fishermen lodging. These people, they just want to do it as easily as possible. They collected the money. They want to give it to us. And they realize that they can make miles off of it by using their credit cards. I mean, I do the same thing. I pay for everything with my credit card and pay my credit card off at the end of the month because I want the miles. So that's what that reflects anyways. And I like Brian's idea. I hadn't really thought about that because I don't know what goes into it. I definitely don't want to create a lot more work where we're dealing with all this ACH paperwork. But if it's a one-time thing with businesses that we're going to continue to use or that are going to continue to remit sales tax every year, then yeah, I don't think that's a very bad idea at all.
Yeah, for the most part, the systems that I'm familiar with, it's something where you set up an account with them. Like I imagine we have an account with, was it Clover or something we're running this through right now? You'd have an account with your payment processor, and then they would have code that you integrate into the site, and then customer, instead of entering their card number, enters their bank account and routing number and clicks OK. And then we just get the money from the payment processor. There's no paperwork or extra administration.
That's
and I just looked it up. I think it's 39 cents a transaction flat. So that would be
would
be better.
Yes, that does. That sounds a lot better. So if Clover is somebody who we do use Clover, and if that's somebody who does that, then I can contact Clover and find out how easily that would be. Okay, so moving on, building insurance. I did the same thing this year that I was told to do last year, which is add 15% to the previous year's budgeted amounts. This is what the insurance company told me for insurance across the board. And then some point in each fiscal year, they do an audit of your workers' comp and things like that. And then they return some of that money. So having done that last year, I budgeted $12,658. So far, we've spent $12,789, but we haven't received our rebate yet. So this year, I just added 15% onto the $12,658, and that's how I came up with $14,546. Maintenance and repair. The building, again, this is for all the departments, $8,667.16. If anybody's interested, I can say what each department requested, or we can just assume that $8,667 on building maintenance for all the city's buildings isn't an extraordinary amount of money. It's actually $4,500 less than we budgeted last year. Okay. Contractual services. The ambulance billing expense is based on how many ambulance runs we have. So the more ambulance runs we have, the more we pay. We pay per run, and then we pay per bill sent. So if, say, Kyle Bishop doesn't pay his bill when they send it to him, they will continue to send him bills. We will get charged postage plus a nominal fee for each time they send him a bill. So I put in the $1,300 because it's the most that we've paid in the 5-year span. It's $1,340. This year we're currently at 764, but I understand it's been a pretty good year so far. So city engineer, last year we budgeted 20,000, and I'm not sure why because previously we hadn't had them. We didn't have a city engineer until last fiscal year. Put in the amount here, but I can tell you real quick what we've spent so far this fiscal year on the city engineer. So far, we spent $5,139.60. That includes any capital projects that he's worked on, documents that he's helped draft, conversations with Kathy or the lawyer or with either of the mayors. So I dropped that number down to $10,000. I had originally dropped it down to $15,000, and then I thought if you're going to drop it to 15,000, why not drop it to 10? I needed to get some, we had to make some cuts somewhere, and that was somewhere we could do it if we had to, you know, maybe I could be working on the RFQ rather than asking an engineer at a much higher rate of pay to do it. Obviously we've been very happy with the work we've been getting from the city engineer, but if we've only spent half that this fiscal year and this fiscal year is more than halfway over, I thought 10,000 was reasonable. So that's what I put in.
Ben,
yes.
Just to add to that. So we're hoping we can apply some of his costs to specific projects. This was in there because we were writing a lot of grants. We didn't know what kind of projects we were going to get. We had some projects that we needed his input for that we didn't have a project set up yet. And so we've been trying to, where we can, expense stuff against a project once we get it established. So coming up, we may have some more expenditures for sure come out of there before the end of the year, but hopefully it won't go over that. So anyway.
Yeah. Okay. The gravel pit survey, you can see in one more year that will drop off, and then I'll remove that unless we do another gravel pit survey. So I budgeted nothing for it. The managed IT services, I put in the amount of the actual cost for the managed IT services. We have, over the last 2 years, we've had them do one site visit, and we do have to pay for that as well. Last year, I added it to, I think, contractual services to cover the cost of him flying over and back. I didn't know, because we haven't yet finalized a IT services contract for FY25. I didn't know what to do, so I just went with the amount that I know we're going to pay, which is the $25,020 if we continue with ATS. Contractual services other, that's the different departments. It comes, you know, every department's got different contractual services that they use. The library has John Sanchez, who does cleaning, and so he also does cleaning here at City Hall. The marine facilities has the boats that we use to move the floats back and forth, the businesses that use boats to move the floats back and forth, as well as just for regular moving things around in the boat harbor. The DRC has contractual services. I can't remember. Right. Soil testing, wood chips, cover for the, isn't it, soil cover. So each department has its own contractual services needs. And so $24,784 was what they requested. I might have lowered City Hall's a bit from the original amount that we put in, which would have been based on the previous year. That was the previous year. The previous year we budgeted $41,560 for this calendar year, or this fiscal year that we're in right now. We've spent $14,853. Then I need to, I didn't, when I was doing it, I must not have, I changed it on the full budget, but apparently I didn't change it on the departmental budget. That'll need to be changed, because the full budget for all the departments is $24,784. So admins being $41,246 would not make sense at all. Nope.
So what are the admins?
are the admin items for contractual services?
Well, actually, city engineer falls into admin and managed IT services. So there's 35,000 right there of that 41,000.
So these are the ad fees. Didn't they have separate line items?
Yeah, they do. They don't on the individual department thing, because I was just, well, because I was using the original spreadsheets. And at that time, we didn't, when these were made, we didn't have a city engineer, nor did we have managed IT services when Phoebe first started. So on what you see in the on the thing is correct. It's $41,246 minus $35,020, and that would give you the total admin request. That makes sense? Okay. It's okay. It's okay. That's why we're doing this, right?
Because the total successful amount here is 61.
Yes.
But then under the lot, the admin contractual services is 41,000.
Right. So between the other departments should equal up to about $20,000. So let's see. We got 5,000. Yeah, and 10,000 for the DRC. And if there's a difference, it's what I lowered from admin from that 41,000.
And tell me again what kinds of things that is.
The for admin? Admin is city engineer, which is broken out in the full budget. It's managed IT services, which again is for the, it's not for admin, that's for the entire city. Even though it's in the admin budget. So those two equal up to $35,000. And then of that 41, assuming I did change that, then the admin asked for $6,226. I can't remember exactly what that would have been for, Catherine.
Well, I'd have to go back to my notes, but also it's a little bit less this year because last year there was more in the fire department because of the tower. There was like about $4,000 expenses out of contractual because of the tower at the time.
That's admin?
No. That the, so the admin,
that's really the question.
I believe some of it had to do with let's see, I'm sorry, I don't have the notes for that page right here, but I can find it. We've had different, you know, costs that we have to use with different folks that are on a contract rather than an employee. And so I can't tell you right off the bat right what that is, but we'll have to find it out.
As I look at the numbers under on this budget page, the fiscal year 24, it says contractual services others was budgeted at 41,500 something.
Well, yeah, but
so
that
includes the managed IT services.
That includes managed IT services for
city engineer.
And the city engineer.
So it's broken out on the one budget, but it's not broken out in the admin.
So if you look at that for 55, that would be 25 plus 20 is 45. And then, 25 plus 10.
No, you were right with what you said. Last year it was 20,000 for the city engineer and it was 25 for IT services. So that was 45,000. And then we did do a contract with Shannon and Wilson for PFAS.
Sorry.
PFAS. But we did not put in any money this year for PFAS testing yet. So the $6,000, can't remember. There we talked about it the other day.
I think there might have been another round of testing needed for continuance on that. I thought we put in for one more batch.
That could be.
Yeah.
That would be $4,500 right there. So that would leave us $1,600 for contractual services. Some of that's going to be for John Sanchez, but without doing the math, I can't figure out exactly right. what that is.
Some of it's for his but he's only an hour a week here, so. But yeah, some of that's for him.
And so, are we putting in PFAS dollars for this coming?
I don't think so. I don't think that the contractual services for this year. I don't remember putting in anything for PFAS testing, and the amounts were very specific because I dropped it down from that 55,000 to 41,246. That's a pretty specific amount. You know, there was change attached to it. I would say this is, you know, there's no way I put in 18 cents, but I didn't. I put zeros, but if we added them all up, I mean, we can do it.
We've also got your difference. You ready?
Yep.
Sorry.
I did all the math over here. Okay. All right. So I took the marine facilities, the library, the fire hall or the fire station and the DRC. All of their contractual services totaled to $20,588. Then I took the admin of the 41,246 and I subtracted the IT, which is the $25,020, and the engineer, which is $10,000, and that leaves you with $6,226. I then subtracted that from the, or I added that to the $20,588, which gives you $26,814. When you take that, there's a difference from our proposed budget of $2,030.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know where that leaves us. Is everybody happy with that?
We cut $2,030.
We did cut some out of their
pool. And then and it just did not get rectified on the
right. I
don't have the page in front of me. Yes. So
I have notes scrawled on another sheet for that. But
my apologies. Whatever I pulled out that was $2,030, I'll have to can't remember and I don't have it listed here.
But it's half of what we were asking for to try to meet that, and some of that is for John. So
okay. So dues and fees. Each department has its own dues and fees. And I do have some of those that I can think of off the top of my head. I could also go through QuickBooks if the council members would like to know exactly what dues and fees we pay. I can provide that information, but dues and fees aren't something that we based on estimates of what we think we might pay. They're based on what we're paying.
And those are all different things, like Alaska Municipal League, like Southeast Conference, like Fire Chiefs Association and the
ACLA,
the ACLA and the clerks, the Clerks Association and AMA, Alaska Municipal Managers Association. There's just all different kinds of organizations that departments belong to in order to either get assistance from them or go to their conferences or get scholarships for the conferences. You have to belong to these. I mean, it's $200 to belong to AMA, but I got, you know, $1,250 paid for me to be able to go to the conference this year. So it's kind of, you know, instead of us having to pay it. And that works out for fire department stuff as well.
And so we don't get scholarships that cover the dues and fees. The dues and fees have to be paid, but the scholarships cover right. things like travel and stay, and right. et cetera. So again, that, I think that if anyone has any questions about exactly what dues and fees we're paying, I can provide that information at a different time other than at this meeting, unless somebody wants to know right now. Okay. The GVA this year, they requested $27,200. I had some people question that, and I think that one, they don't have to move a sign this year, and two, they're not doing a documentary. So that, I think those were the reasons why it had increased up to 41,000 last year. But the GVA put forth a nice budget, which the council must have approved. Yes. Okay. Brian says yes. And so that was the amount that
the
they
board,
requested.
You mean? The board, you mean? The GBA board approved
it. Well, no, but we have to, didn't we have to approve it?
It was presented to the council.
Oh, okay. It was presented to the council.
Yeah, and if anyone's interested in context there, we should be having finished video assets to start posting in the coming months here. That's been, you know, that's something I've been trying to see progress on in the recent months.
Okay. Election expense. What we do when we put on an election is the city clerk goes and buys snacks and stuff for the volunteers who come and do it. And so that's what that $250 is. The I don't know, federal or state election board does send us a small stipend which covers the cost of renting a building or whatever. It's been the last couple of years, it's been $200, and you can see that we've spent 150.
Something's wrong. We've had overtime as well for that.
Yeah, some of these columns didn't change. I can see they're, unless we spent, I don't know. I'm just gonna keep going.
Spent actually a little over budget this year, if my memory serves correct. I was in like week two of the job.
She did overspend just a little bit, but whatever. We'll move on. The emergency and disaster. So one thing that you will notice, and I'm going to skip ahead here, it's the only place where I'll do this, is I have already included $50,000 in carryover income. That is the $50,000 that we carried over from the previous year that we did not spend on an emergency and disaster. So the $50,000 expense is covered by that $50,000 in carryover. And that's the only carryover that we've used so far to justify our budget. It comes in at the very last thing in net other income, prior year cash balance. And you'll see that when all was said and done, Mike and Kathy and I, we tried to use as little carryover last year to balance the budget as was feasibly possible. And we carried over prior to the budget being passed about $100,000. But you can see that after the budget was amended in August or September, once we knew what the carryover amount was, we added an additional $84,000 to the different departments. Road maintenance got 31,000. Can't remember exactly what all the, I can get that budget amendment if we wanted to know, but this year I wanted to see how far we could get with just doing the emergency and disaster. And so that's what we're looking at here is just the $50,000. And because again, that's money that was set aside for this thing that wasn't used in FY22. So we moved it forward to FY23. And when we didn't use it there, maybe I've gone back too many years, FY24. So we'll move it forward to FY25.
That also assumes we're not going to have need for it between now and
then. Yeah, assuming there's no disasters between now and the end of the fiscal year.
So is other carried over money included on this?
No, just the $50,000. There's no other carryover money has been applied to this yet. Is that good? Okay. Yep. Okay. So anyways, that kind of zeroes it out. Like I said, I didn't want to skip around, but that's what that is. The equipment fuel is mostly the DRC. It might actually be all of the DRC. I think it's all the DRC.
So did you ask for any equipment fuel money?
I don't think so. And so that's based on the amount of gas that Ian uses in the Bobcats to move our waste around. Equipment purchase, there were a few things there. $2,500 is what admin had for equipment purchase. We were hoping to get a new printer for the city. The printer that we have is like most printers, and we're hoping for one that's not. So, I was going to say the library also wanted to get a new printer. Sol had some requests that he would like to update some of the things that the fire department uses. Like he wanted to get two iPhones and a tablet. In order to keep the budget low, we removed those requests out of this equipment purchase and are going to make a project request for fire department upgrades. We did add in the amount that it would cost us to have those services, to add two phone lines and internet for an iPad. I'm just saying that just to say that is something that if we do find more money when we know what our carryover is, if we want to add those items back in and not do them as a separate project, those would be some of the kind of items that I would see us adding in. But the requests were small. The library wanted a printer and City Hall wanted a printer. That's probably half of the 10,000 by itself. I can't remember. Sol wanted a bag, a couple of bags. The DRC, I think the tires were going to be in this fiscal year, but you wanted something, some kind of equipment, didn't you?
I don't remember anything.
There's $11,000 under the DRC.
But that includes, again, that's one of those things where the old spreadsheet doesn't necessarily jibe with the whole budget. So that's equipment, fuel purchase, insurance, maintenance and repair, and other. For the DRC, that $11,000, that's for all of the items, not just for equipment purchase. That's something different. Maintenance and repair is, say, the Bobcat. He blows a gasket on the Bobcat. That would be maintenance and repair. The repair and replace fund is money that's set aside based on the repair or new purchase of an existing asset, like the Bobcat or City Hall or the library or the dock. I mean, the floats. That's what the repair and replace is.
So I'm curious, when we're looking at, I didn't mean to jump off your line of thought here. When we're looking at replacing like the printer, for example, is that an asset that we've listed in the repair and replacement fund?
No.
Is that an asset we're planning on listing in the repair and replacement fund?
No.
Do we have a single asset that we're replacing that we have paid into the fund for yet?
The few years ago, they used approximately $56,000 out of the repair and replace fund to offset the cost of the library roof.
Well, okay. Cool. Just good to know that fund is getting drawn from everyone
when we get to repair and replace, I'm going to complicate it a little bit more, but yes, that money is there as long-term insurance on major assets, not on anything that has a lifespan of less than 10 years. And
understood.
I don't know what the lifespan of a printer is, but I'm sure that this one isn't 10 years old.
It is pretty hard trying to look through the budget and knowing what we're talking about, because you've got just pick the DRC for equipment. And, you know, like I say, the line is $11,000, but it includes a lot of other things. But then on the page under the budget where it says equipment, the total is $10,000. And so as I try to make sense of this budget, it's
very difficult
to really glean anything from these numbers that mean one thing on one page, but another thing on another page.
You're right. And, you know, maybe that's laziness on my part, because I just took the spreadsheets that have been being used and have just continued to use them rather than updating them, which maybe I should do.
Yeah, I'll second that. I generally I find, at least with your explanations, I'm more than able to follow along, but it would be nice to have, I mean, I don't want to burden you more with breaking stuff out further, but if there's a way to, you know, if you have it broken out in QuickBooks, I'd be interested to see as you know, reasonably detailed. I'm not necessarily looking to see every line item, but breakouts are nice.
It would be broken out in QuickBooks, and last year I was asked not to do these work sessions with QuickBooks reports. So there you go.
But there's
next
also
year we'll say the same thing and walk back and forth.
It just seems it's not consistent.
No, you're absolutely right.
In other words, we're trying to compare from one department to another or something, and then there's not consistency in the way it's reported. It makes our oversight on this very difficult.
I agree. So I'll do what I can over the next few days to break out the different ones that need to be broken out, and I'll resubmit those to the council.
So just for my curiosity now, looking at this, as we're looking at the spreadsheet that has all these individual tabs and each department has its own equipment row, that row then gets broken out on the actual budget here into all of these different line items, but then at that point it's aggregated by department. Is that what I'm understanding, or is...
You'd have to, I don't understand your question.
It's aggregated by department once he puts it into the overall equipment. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
If you look at, like, for example, my notes in the fire departments was the pump parts connections so that the pumps would work, various things that they, like Shelley and I, Ben met with the departments, and then Shelley and I met with the departments, and we put notes down of the things that they said that they needed. When we talked about the two phones and the iPad, this is something that is necessary for communications for the ambulance and dispatch and the air ambulance. And it's just the way of the world now. So without those things, I mean, it's harder to communicate, because that's what those people are using to communicate with. Mm-hmm. So it's just trying to get in sync so that the communications are working properly. But that's why we said perhaps we could put that in as a special request, just to note that it's upgrading EMS equipment if we're trying to balance the budget.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have no problem with that. Although I am curious, since we're on the subject of the phones, when we're looking at line items for that, are we buying brand new iPhones, or are we looking at used equipment for things that are reasonable to, because you can get an iPhone for like $250 that'll last you the next 3 or 4 years. Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to have you on the mic.
We're reason why we're looking at the brand new ones is because of well, technology, and also the aspect of the 14 and the 15 can use the Garmin, or not Garmin, InReach, and use a satellite, so we can talk amongst each other.
They added.
So that way, if we're down Mountain View or in the park, even if we have a clear sky, we can at least text amongst our family group. That way, so we don't have to worry about, like, oh, we don't have a cell service or anything like that. So that's largely the reason why that, and the reason why we went to iPhones, because, well, majority of our current volunteers uses iPhones, so the technology.
Yeah, well, and you're not going to get that satellite feature in an Android device, I don't think, either. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, I did.
There's the applications for, like, the air medical.
Yeah, but that is all
for the phones.
But that's offered in the Android as well. So that wasn't really much of a, for us at least, it wasn't a decision. It was just an iPhone that most of us use, the basis, and the satellite feature was the combination of that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think the satellite feature takes it, and I'm totally fine with that consideration. But I'd say generally, if we can find something where the depreciation curve of the device leaves a sweet spot where you can get it for a lot cheaper and it's still usable, like, I just don't buy new phones, because you can buy an iPhone half price after it's a year and a half old and it's still good for 5 more years. So when we can find efficiencies like that, I'd love to see it done, is all.
Yeah, no, and there is some kind of... Yeah,
we talked about that, getting whatever we need to make the technology work.
Yeah.
You know, maybe only one phone needs to be one way and the other one could be the other way. But it's, if you're communicating with the folks that are coming in on the airplane, you know, you got to be able to communicate with them too.
Yeah, no, I think that's that. I hadn't even thought about that satellite feature. That's super cool. I'm gonna have to look into that.
It is. I did look into it. We won't be able to text, like, say, so outside the family, I guess, because it's a family plan.
Oh,
but okay. We would be able to text, like, text our dispatcher, who then will be able to text. So and it's also we're not getting a department phone versus their personal phone is because of if the case ends up going to court, guess what? The phone's gonna be taken into evidence, and we don't want personal phones getting taken into evidence as
definitely,
well,
especially definitely.
If texting is involved. So
cool. Well, thank you for the color on that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And Brian, I have a $140 iPhone 6.
Me too.
So it doesn't do everything that an iPhone 14 does, but it calls and it texts. So, okay. So yes, I will work on breaking those out again. I guess I could have, it would have even made things easier for me had I have done that, but I didn't. So I will work on that before this week. So we were at purchase insurance. The equipment that we have insured is the Bobcats. The maintenance and repair, the big item in maintenance and repair this year was the fire truck. No, that's going to be in vehicle. That wasn't equipment. No, we haven't got there yet. I'm looking at Ian thinking, was there a big item for the DRC that you wanted to repair? What was the...
using the DRC with her eyes just for unseen right now. It's like the failure.
Yeah, and so we definitely didn't want to zero out maintenance and repair.
That's because it's under the equipment, remember? Those are all...
We're still in equipment, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not broken out on that specific tab.
Sorry.
Oh, you're okay.
Yeah, and so then there's equipment other, which, again, I'm just waiting for that line item to go away. So total equipment, fuel purchase, insurance, maintenance, and repair came to $17,833.80 for all the departments. Compared to last year's budget, it's about $3,000 less. And so far this year, we've only spent $10,521 of the $20,000 that we thought we might spend. So you can't, maintenance and equipment maintenance isn't necessarily something that you can guess at. You just hope that you don't end up spending a lot of money on it. Events and celebrations is this year, two different things. Typically, every year the city council is part of the budget process. When you approve the budget, you approve holiday gift cards for the staff. And that's what the events and celebrations has been. So last year it was, we budgeted $4,400. We spent, wasn't $3,800, maybe it was $3,700 on gift cards for the entire staff, which includes labor pool, for the DRC.
Volunteers.
No. We did 11 this year. So it's the labor pool and then the regular staff. And that includes the all of the landfill staff who so that's the labor pool. So,
oh, you're talking about that part.
Yeah.
Okay.
The extra money that I put in there is because we bought a cake for Paul Berry for his going away party, and we bought cupcakes for the 20th anniversary. We didn't really have that money budgeted, and seeing as how there was money left over in events and celebrations, I added that in. This year, the reason why the number's gone up to $4,700 is because the DRC would like to possibly start making t-shirts again and selling the t-shirts. And so that's not it, though, is it?
Is somebody hitting another year of employment in their rate or hours or something?
No, the library added $50 because they wanted to have two volunteer events instead of one volunteer event. And so an extra $50 helped them. And then $250 was the t-shirts that for the t-shirts for the DRC. So that's $300. So that's what it was. So that's why it increased. It'd be the cost of the t-shirts. It hasn't been put into income. I don't even know how many t-shirts that would be. So I can't, you know, it was just a thought that Ian was acting on, right? Freight and shipping. So we go to the DRC, you'll see that we have $32,000 in shipping. That's shipping baled recyclable materials out of Gustavus and any other shipping costs that they might find. That is the bulk of our freight and shipping. City Hall has $800 for all the things that we mail out. The library would be the next one that they have. $1,000, that's interlibrary loans mostly. And then the fire department, $600, not really. That's not really too much. And then for marine facilities, I added in 200. One year, I needed some pressure treated wood and they didn't have it in Gustavus. And I needed it right then. And to fly it over costs about $200. So that's what I put in this year for the marine facilities. I don't really expect there to be very much freight or shipping for marine facilities, but it's possible. So anyways, that's freight and shipping. Like I said, most of it's baled recyclables. And these are things, this seems like a lot of money, but anything that we don't keep in, any waste that we don't keep in our town, in our landfill, expands the life of our landfill and is just better for our town. So if we had more money to send more garbage out of Gustavus, I'd be all for that. Fundraising expenses, that is for the library. They also would like to do more t-shirts and other things. Okay. So t-shirts and logo bags, which they sell, and that $500 spent also reflects in the income as the opposite, the $500 in income for those items. And now for payroll. You're right. I skipped way ahead, didn't I? I was ready to move on. So, okay, general liability, the $17,841. That doesn't seem like it's 15% over last year's, but it's the number that I got from Amy Morrison, who's our new broker with PW Insurance. So that's why it's not 15% more than we budgeted for last year, but is a specific number.
So it shows the budget for last year was 20,000, actually 7.
Right.
So then we'll pay less this year than we budgeted?
Yes, we won't. That 17,776 will probably end up getting a rebate, actually. Definitely. The gravel pit fund. So this is where I almost skipped ahead earlier and then didn't. Kathy and I thought that it would be a good idea. No, let's go back. Tom and Phoebe and maybe Mike or whoever the mayor was at the time thought it would be a good idea to start putting away $6,000 a year into the gravel pit fund just to start, because eventually we're going to need money for more gravel or to fix expansion. for anything. And Kathy and I thought that $6,000 a year. I did the math on the years that it would take us to get to the $500,000 that we think it might cost to do some work there. And we weren't ever going to get there. So we thought that it made more sense to take half of the gravel pit income and put that in the gravel pit fund, still using the other half to help pay for the city to continue functioning. But we thought that would be a good amount, would be half, because then we could just do half every year of what we had brought in. But the second thing that I cut from the budget after realizing that we were so short in income was the additional $18,000 or $17,000 that I had added in. So when we know what the carryover is from fiscal year 24, that would be one of the priorities that I would suggest to the council, is that we amend the budget to reflect putting in half of last year's gravel pit sales. Actually, it has to go back 2 years in order to get an accurate number. But right now I put it back down to 6,000 because we do need to put some money in there. And if we had to cut something, putting money in a savings account was one of the first things that I thought we should cut. We'd rather spend the money than put it into a savings account. Yes, I'm not going to argue with myself about that. I probably could, but I'm not going to right now. So,
and given the status of the gravel pit, you know, I mean, we're working on other solutions to, you know, prolong the life of it. But having some funds available based on making funds from it would help us go a long way if we needed to resurvey or we needed to put in an application that costs money or something.
Matching funds.
Or
we're looking for
a grant. Matching funds, right. Like any of that stuff needs to be, I mean, that it's a, you know, it's a good revenue stream for us. And if it dries up, we're in trouble, not only because of the revenue, but because of not having gravel for our roads.
And not just our roads for construction.
Yeah.
The price of everything would increase if the price of gravel increased, if we had to start bringing it in from outside the community. So anyways, we thought that was a good idea. I wanted to let the council know that we think that's a good idea and that I think that that should be a priority when we know what the carryover is and we're trying to figure out what to do with it rather than putting it into, I don't know, say long-term projects. I would suggest that we put that money into the gravel pit fund, and that we make a habit of doing that when we have the additional funds available. Library materials. I'm sorry that the actual spent number isn't right. And I'm going to have to talk to some, there's some women that help with QuickBooks that I realize I'm going to need some help with this. So last year was the first year we put the $7,000, excuse me, into the PLA grant into the library materials. Prior to the last fiscal year, that $7,000 was kept in a separate place in QuickBooks, and so were the expenses that were attached to it. So prior to last year, it would have just said $7,000 for library materials, and then it really would have been 14, but it wouldn't have been listed here. So we added that in to the income. Then we added it into the expense, but because it's a grant and the way that QuickBooks works with grants, it's showing that we've spent $9,900 so far on library materials, but it's going to a separate class and it's not showing up here. So that $1,687 is not correct. It should be closer to $10,000. I didn't look today before we started doing this, but that's where it was yesterday, or not yesterday, on Thursday. So anyway, so the library last year, they asked for $14,000. This year they asked for $14,000. But when it was all said and done, as far as I know, they agreed that because all the departments were having to cut something somewhere, that they agreed to cut an extra three. They did not agree to cut $3,000. Well,
this is Melissa speaking. I completely understand that we have to, everybody has to have cuts where they can have cuts. But I want to remind everybody that the library is the one place that everything that we do is free to the whole of the community, that we are serving the whole of the community at all times, computers, wireless, books, education, programs, all of the things that we do are free to the community. And so I understand if we have to cut money and we have to lose some here or there, but I believe that the library is one of the best assets to the community in any case. And so do you want to say, no, Leanne's good with that.
Okay. Well,
so I just wanted, this is Janine. And so I'm looking at your numbers again, and I'm still questioning that PLA money and wondering why it's not put in for these materials. And
it
I
is.
See when I look at the library dropdown, there's another place where they've gotten, so the $3,000 less in the line that says library materials, and then I see almost $1,000 less in the line that says supplies program. So that means that it's almost $4,000 of the library's programming that is being cut. And I guess I look at some of, and I tried looking at the different departments, but what I'm realizing is because the numbers aren't apples to apples in terms of looking to see where things were cut, I don't see though other cuts in other departments of $4,000 for supplies. And
I can just hit on that real quick. We cut $50,000 from road maintenance in order to get the budget down the slope. So $4,000 for library materials isn't the same as $50,000 in road maintenance, but the DRC asked for an extra approximately 200 hours for labor, and that was cut because we went back to the previous year's numbers and said if we could do it last year at this amount, sure, we could do more better if we had another 200 hours worth of labor pool to help. But if we don't have money to cover it, then we can't put it in the budget. So each department, I had the percentages. The percent that the library was cut was about 11%. The DRC was about 13%. The fire department, we pulled stuff out and we talked about doing it as a project. And admin, we cut, I mean, even though the city engineer isn't somebody who works here or isn't a supplier or a material, it's still part of the admin budget. If that person's not here doing that work, then me or Kathy or Liesl or Mike or Shelley or someone else is doing that work. The work is still being done. So right there is $10,000. I could go through, I don't think that this is necessarily the right venue for going over each line item that was cut because, but I guess at the end of the day, my statement would be, once we know what the carryover is, it is our intention to amend the budget to reflect some of these needs that we had to cut. My first priority would be road maintenance. We cut quite a bit out of road maintenance, and I would say first thing we need to do is get that back up to a reasonable level. I'd like to see the money go into the gravel pit fund. Maybe we can add more money. And oh, I guess another place where admin cut was it was hoped for that we could increase Liesl's hours to match the need for the amount of work that we need her to do. We did that in the beginning and then we cut that back as well. So every department's made cuts and I can specify them in an email, but I don't, this isn't, I think that this is more about what we have more than what we cut. We can, like I said, we can always add stuff in. The library also gave up the, whether it was their choice or not, they did want a summer intern. That was going to be another $1,250, I think. And so that was cut as well. It doesn't mean that we can't have a summer intern. It just means that in order to balance the budget right now, you know, that's one place where maybe we can get somebody to volunteer, or maybe we can find another source of funding for it,
which is being talked about at maybe the school level for the ability to get funding, whether it's for an intern or hours offset by the librarian that then they could turn into an intern. But we met with each department. The suggested cuts were made. The percentages of cuts that were made were higher in a lot of other departments. So we tried to mitigate the cuts to a minimal amount of, you know, how you could still function and still be able to carry on. We also cut travel and training out of the admin budget. So, I mean, a lot of departments, you know, had to try to give some stuff up to balance the budget. And it's just, we don't have what we had last year.
So when I look at our income page, so this is one thing that I guess I'm having trouble realizing or understanding. When I look at our income and I look at our gross profit bottom line for the fiscal year 24, it's less than the fiscal year budget for 25. So I'm not understanding where these 10 and 7, et cetera, percent cuts come in, because the line item of the amounts don't show that we have less money in our gross profit this year than last. It shows we have more.
No.
So this is the number that I'm looking at. These two numbers that say the gross profit, mm-hmm. and here's the fiscal year 24, here's the fiscal year 25.
Mm-hmm. So this is gross profit. There's no expenses have been taken out here. This is 100% profit is $1,116,931. You have to go to the end of the last page, the end of the expenses. Maybe some of my papers.
Yeah, those.
So when you get to the total net income, we haven't gotten there yet, but when we get there, we're at negative $12,925.70.
Because
we are, so far, our expenses exceed our income for this year, for the fiscal year that we're working on.
But so these things that the library is asking for isn't new things. It's things they've already had. And so this number in terms of the income coming in, it's more. So why, I still don't quite get why the things need to come that was there from before.
You need to not look at the gross income, but you need to look at the total expenses between those 2 years, because you're going to find the difference there is why the budget is lower.
And so the end thing, and I've messed up with this negative $5,077.05 last year. That's just a error on my part. I needed to amend something that I didn't. But the difference right now is that we brought over an extra $134,000 in carryover after we balanced the budget and we had moved into the fiscal year. We amended the budget at least once and maybe twice, and first of all, we budgeted more carryover last year than I've budgeted here. I think it was about 100,000. Mike, is that, you remember, or is it a little more than that?
Yes. One of the reasons we had extra carryover was we didn't have the audit.
Yes.
And so we moved the audit money plus the 50,000 for emergencies. And that was most of it. And then we added about another five just to make things balance.
Yes.
Leanne Weichel from the library.
You stated that a couple of different departments had asked for something new this year, and then that was cut. So was that part of the formula for the percentage that was every department cut? Like, the DRC asked, I don't remember what you just said, they just asked for something, and then because we were over budget, you cut it. Was that included in the 13% that they're...
Yes.
What's different for the library is our entire additional amount that we asked for this year, that it was $233. We asked for $50 more for celebrations, and we asked for $1 more an hour for John's contract. We didn't ask for any other new dollars.
I guess I'd like to I think you've had an opportunity. Every department has. We're going on to almost 3 hours already. I'd like to not, I think it's appropriate if you can talk with Ben directly or talk with your supervisor, but I don't want to have any more additional lobbying for particular
items. I'm just saying that the percentages aren't apple to apple, because what we were cut isn't what we asked for additionally. It's what we've been operating under.
And I'm hoping we can kind of move this along.
Yes.
I mean, we've got...
We're almost there.
And if you have additional questions, perhaps you can come in and talk to him one-on-one, Janine.
I just think that it's a public meeting and we don't have an opportunity to talk amongst ourselves. And so this is the only opportunity that I have.
We'll be having the town hall next week.
Everyone and hear the answer at the same time. And so I thought that was, you know, I think that that's the purpose of this, is to get the information out, the questions asked, and the answers given to the group as a whole. And so if I were to come in and talk with you one-on-one, that's the purpose of having this meeting.
Well, we have lots of opportunities. We have the town hall, then we're going to have the work session, and then we're going to have the general meeting. So there's lots of opportunities to talk about these details. I just, we've been going for a long time without a break, and I'd like to pick up the speed if we could a little bit.
Okay, well, I think I can clear up some of these things. I didn't arbitrarily make cuts, and I didn't make all the cuts. Some of the cuts that were made when the departments met with the city administrator and the mayor. And these were this was the final product that was given to me on some items like that. Some of them I was able to work with the departments. Sometimes they didn't. Kathy, Shelley wants me to move forward.
Want to say that it doesn't matter if it was a new ask or an old ask, needs are needs. It wasn't just because it was a nice to have that we added those things, but we still, you know, what we're just going to have to do without them. So it doesn't matter whether or not they were new or not.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Okay. So is it okay to move forward? Okay. So marine facilities insurance, that's for the float. I did not add any money into maintenance and repairs this year because last year we had a pretty good stockpile of lumber down in the boat harbor at our new shed, and Larry was able to make use of that. So I didn't add any money this year because I know there's still lumber down there for maintenance and repairs for this year. Occupational health, every year the DRC gets $500 to offer to their employees to go and get tetanus shots or things like that at search. That's actually open to any employee, but the DRC is who makes the requests, and so that's what that is. Payroll is where I thought we were going to get hung up anyway, so not going to go real fast through it, but the wages, you can see last year we budgeted $444,000. This year we budgeted $469,000. The additional is not, there was a 1.8% COLA increase, and there was, we added a new employee, Leah Oaken, as the EMS coordinator. Payroll taxes are the same formula this year as last year. The PTO and sick leave, I just need to do the math to figure out how much of the actual wages is PTO and how much of it is sick time. So that's why those two columns are blank. But that I will do that math when I do the actual, put the actual budget together.
So I do have a
Okay.
A question on the paperwork that we've been given to look at. And so as I look at the numbers and I'm trying to see how the numbers on the one sheet relates to the numbers on another, on the worksheets. And so I have this, the one that has the fiscal year with COLA increase figured in, there's numbers that then say what the total department budget is. And then you have the individual sheets, shall we say, from each of the departments.
And they're not the same.
The amount of the payroll. And then you have a payroll expense on this, but the numbers don't match. And I've been sitting all day trying to make these numbers match.
Right.
And I just think I need an explanation as to why on the library one, they match to the penny. But to the other departments, some of them were $5,000 more one way, some was, you know, something different another way. And so I guess I don't understand how you get these numbers and how we're supposed to make decisions if we don't know how you get the numbers.
Okay. That is definitely a more complicated question than I can answer quickly. But it's all based on this spreadsheet. And I can email on the F20, the payroll spreadsheet. Looks like this. You have this?
Yeah, that's on
this one here.
Yeah. So that this is what formulates the numbers. And the other day I had to do some I had to tweak some stuff around. I was taking things out and I was putting things back in, and I thought that I got them all to add up. I thought that I got them all to add up properly. I can see here that it looks like I'm about $4,000 off or $3,000 off. And I'll have to right now, just have to apologize for that and say the actual number that should be on the total budget is $589,137.81. I'm not sure why that's not right. But I'll figure that out, and I'll let the council know. It's just it's a number punching error on my part.
Okay,
whatever.
So
it's
the number from that COLA worksheet that you're saying.
Yes, that's the department total at the bottom, $589,137.81. That is what the spreadsheet that we use to formulate the taxes, the insurance, the stipend, the LFG. It could be because we added LFG for another employee who has not been getting it up until, well, she'll start getting it starting next month. So I had to change that for her. Can't remember which. I had to change the marine facilities around. There was a lot of last minute finagling, and I must have missed it on the somewhere, you know, on updating the sheet. So again, I apologize. That's my fault. But 589,000, that is the number that we came up with.
And if I might, some of these projections are based on what's happened and what we think is going to happen. And then as he's been going along doing the budget, there's been some changes to, you know, hours people want to have and be available and things like that. So it's kind of a little bit dynamic at times. So
that's actually why I didn't do the math on the paid time off and the sick leave, is because it's been changing so much that, you know, to have to figure out how many hours a person's going to work and how many hours of PTO or sick time they get based on that. It's just wait until we got a final number and then break it all down.
And so then that number though will end up, if the 589 is what it is, but on the budget sheet it says 585.
That's what I'm saying.
To find more money to pick up to balance, because
that's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's where this number matters, that it's not the same.
Yes, and I'm the other day when I first did this, they did all add up. I mean they added up. So it's something that I've changed in the meantime that I just didn't update all the sheets. Kyle?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but this the bigger spreadsheet that you sent out to us versus the quick snapshot of what's in the packet, one's a draft that we're continuing to work on.
All of it's a draft.
Right. But the version that's in the packet is to just give us a quick snapshot and an overview. And the intent of this meeting is to give us a quick snapshot and an overview to be worked out along the process.
And it is, it's to work it out. It's to find things like this and say, hey, there's a mistake. Let's get that fixed. We need to come up with another $3,000. Right.
I was debating cracking a joke about adding like $2,000 in here to create a super fancy spreadsheet where this all just happens automatically, but I don't think we have the money for it. Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, we will, when we get to the end, we will have the money. So, professional services, just to move on to Susan, you got the new number, the correct number of 589. Okay. Professional services, that's just the lawyer. So $15,000, even though we've only spent $4,682 with the Hunaburro formation and some of the other issues that we've had going on, we thought it was a good idea to leave that budget at $15,000 rather than taking money from there. Public relations, we've been buying ad on the Fox's t-shirts. It's $400. Don't remember what the other $300 was.
There was something else you had put.
There was something else you had put under public relations. One was the t-shirts, and one was,
I don't know.
Donation.
The billboards. Okay, so we had the billboard sign, and I'm sorry, what? The signs that were getting made. The signs for the playground equipment and the Brian Waverly. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah.
Relocation, as soon as that goes away, it'll drop off. Repair and replace. So you'll see that the repair and replace increased from what it had been, the 16,545 or 16,595. This year it increased to 18,554. That's to include the septage facility. And so that was
and the bike and the addition of the bike shed.
This is the only other place where I'm really gonna kind of slow down for a second is the library is $27,000 short, or $23,000 short in their repair and replace fund because of the money that was used on the roof, the $56,000 that I mentioned earlier. So, was something that I had hoped that we would be able to budget more, say all of it or a percentage of it, so that we could get that number. There's a number where that needs to be that it's not at. And so I had hoped to be able to add in a certain amount, you know, $3,000 or $23,000 or whatever into the budget to start making up that shortfall. Can't do that if we're already short. But when it comes time for carryover, I think that the city council should consider how over the next year to 5 years we get that number back up to where it's supposed to be, so that going forward, we're not trying to make up money that we spent out of the repair and replacement.
I'll interject here that I think that would be a really great use for the interest earnings that we're getting in AMLIP. We can just allocate that to the repair and replacement fund. It's perfect with AMLIP yielding 5.3%, go into a rainy day. We're not requiring it or relying on it, but now we have it and we can use that to backfill. So I think that would be a great use for that.
Yeah, and we're just moving it from one savings account to another. So we're continuing to make money off of it. Correct. Okay. So last year's, when we balanced the budget, around this time, road maintenance, which here it says other, but because now it's broken out, road maintenance was $100,000 and snow plowing was $65,000. Once the budget had passed, we knew how much carryover we were going to have. We requested an additional $31,000 be added to the road maintenance as an amendment. The council voted on that. And so that is why I felt comfortable taking the additional $50,000 originally requested for road maintenance out, because it being the community's stated number one priority, when we know how much money we have left, we can put some money back in. Last year we put in 31,000. This year we'll just have to see how much we have and decide how much we want to put back in. That would be my number one priority that I would recommend to the council of what to use the carryover for once we know what it is. Should be much more than 50,000, but that's not a guarantee. Okay, Mike?
One question would be whether we need to continue to have two different lines here, particularly when we go to our newer model, if we're assuming we do. That was kind of a guess of the split, and we do. Snow plowing is very variable, so it would make sense to me to just have a single line item for road maintenance.
I would agree with that as well. And this year, with our snow events, we surpassed $65,000. So we've just been taking the additional money needed for snow plowing out of road maintenance. So it is kind of a single fund, and yeah, single line item. That makes a lot of sense to me. So
I'm curious on that. This is Vice Mayor Taylor. So do you have, I guess I see we've budgeted 196 with that additional allocation to road maintenance, and we're currently sitting at 126. Is that something you can reliably project now that we're past the end of snow season as to about what we might see ourselves at the end of the year? Or is that still difficult to with rain events?
Yes. So obviously with dirt roads, road maintenance is variable. I could tell you what we spent in the same period of time last year or over the course of many years, but I don't have that knowledge in my head. Okay. So Mike,
maybe yes, Mike does. Mike, I might add that most years we use whatever we've got in the spring. We can to do whatever work we can do. And sometimes, or most years, we're postponing some work until we get new money for the next year. So we would presumably use all that's in the budget.
Okay, good to know.
And I would like to just add in that the roads, and it's another free thing for the public to use. So I think any funds that we can allocate to that to maintain it pleasurable for everybody to drive down is priority number one. Thank you.
Yeah, that's probably the thing I hear the most community comments about is, when are we going to pave these roads?
And in the community survey, it was the number one thing that the community said was the most important thing for the city to. But so anyways. One more year and we can get rid of the GSEP, except for they actually contacted me and asked what the plans were for city money. So they might be reforming and maybe we won't get rid of that, but we didn't budget any money in there because there was no request made. The stipend, which is down, is for the volunteer firefighters. 3,000 of that goes to, so every 6 months, it's calculated how many calls volunteers participated in, and then $1,500 is divided up between those volunteers based on the amount of calls that they participated in. That happens twice a year. The other $1,500, last year, the other $3,000, and the other $1,500 here is for possible gym memberships. It's been... we're hearing that maybe they're not being used. We have not spent any money on it. And so I wouldn't get too upset about the extra $1,500. Hopefully that's money that will just stay in our bank account and we can use it on road maintenance or library materials or whatever the thing is. But Soul didn't want to just cut it out completely in case a new round of volunteers were interested in using the gym. Okay.
And I think they're going to look at a new model for the stipend, because if there's a lot of calls with a lot of people, then everybody gets less than if there's only two or three calls and then there's more. And I think they're going to look at it more on a sort of a different allocation basis, just to make it a little more equitable.
Yeah, there are lots of different options, and was doing the math when I realized that we had done so few calls this time that everybody was making twice as much money on their stipend as they did last year, and they did less and they got twice as much. So that's great. And, you know, we want our volunteers to feel appreciated, but if there's a better way, then there's a better way. Supplies, might have to slow down here for a second, but supplies run the gambit of anything from paper to kits for the library kits, right? The program supplies. Well, it's all supplies. Everything falls under supplies on that. That's not what I mean. I'm sorry. I think you misunderstood what I'm saying. I'm saying that there's different things for supplies. For the fire department, the supplies are ambulance supplies. For admin, it's pens and paper and ink and toilet paper and whatever. For the DRC, yeah, it could be garbage bags and whatever. And for the library, it's the things, same things. So that's, yeah. Yes. So anyways, all the departments together added up to 2,250. I didn't think that I cut anything from anybody's supply requests, but if the program supplies are showing less, then that would have been something that was suggested or given to me after the meeting between the library and the administration. I just put in the numbers that were given to me there. I didn't even notice that it was $925 less, to be honest with you. But I do see that that's what I have on the paper. And so unless there's any comments about supplies, so it's marine facilities probably does have less. Last year, Larry needed, he was stocking the shed with tools and things that he needed. This year, you don't only need to buy tools once. Oh, hopefully. But he definitely, you know, having worked in marine facilities for 5 or 6 years, the need isn't that great. It's, you know, trash bags and toilet paper and hand soap.
So does this number from supplies lump together the
all the departments? Yes. Yes, because they're the only department that has separate. Everybody else just has supplies, but the library has program supplies and then donated supplies. That 925 is what I noticed. I didn't even look at the other ones. Okay.
I think at this point, I think I would like just to have council member.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. The next telecommunications is down almost $4,000. That is because when I, you know, first of all I did was just move it to the side, 20,412 this year, 20,412 next year. When I started needing to find more money, I started going through and everybody's budget, maybe not every single department's, but most departments' budgets were inflated. One of them was the libraries, because, or not the libraries, was ours in the fire department. Does the DRC get free Wi-Fi now? So anyways, we were still budgeting for internet costs that we aren't paying at the moment because of the contract that we made with Byte Alaska. We will have to up that in the future. But for this year, that was a easy way to find $4,000, was to just lower everybody's telecommunications to the actual costs that we pay right now. Training. I took $500 from marine facilities because we only put money in marine facilities so that all the marine facilities coordinators could be ETTs or the equivalent. We now have Sol and Johan who can train the marine facilities coordinator with basic life support. So I removed the $500 from there. Marine facilities? Oh, total. Yeah, for all the departments. The library didn't have much, and I think you guys were just going to Juneau this year, right, instead of Fairbanks? Yeah, Melissa says she's not going anyway, so. Okay. Yes. Okay. The DRC didn't have much. Kathy wants Ian to get Has Whopper or something certified. So there was some money there, but because of his job and because he's the person doing it, he just doesn't have time to get away. I also am not doing any training. Admin's budget either stayed the same or went up a little bit, and that's because of Liesl getting a new city clerk, obviously, isn't cheap. And so hopefully she knows that she can't go anywhere now. We'll be needing her for a while. And then whatever Sol asked for training is what we gave him, because the fire department, obviously, we want the fire department to be trained up. So travel, it only looks like 3,500 there, but it had actually, the admin request was, I think, 15,000 in the beginning, because admin also pays for the council members to travel around and for the AML conference and all those other kinds of things. Ended up reducing that by $5,000 because we had to make cuts somewhere, and that was somewhere where we could cut. I volunteer not to go to any of the conferences this year, and hopefully that'll save the city $5,000. Utilities, the electricity went up because that's what it's going to cost. Yeah, the fuel oil looks like it's the same, but it's actually not. The city halls does have the two Toyo stoves. We can still use them, and occasionally we did use them to knock the chill off in here, but we've got a full tank, and it actually had gone empty, or we wouldn't have spent anything on it. I wouldn't have been aware, but when it went empty, I was like, okay, well, it's empty. We're not using it, and who cares? And then I was told you don't leave a fuel tank empty. So we filled it back up, but with the heat pumps, we should never, I don't know, not never, maybe we have a decade's worth of fuel oil before we do it again. So this winter must have been considerably warmer because of the amount spent this year compared to, say, last year in some of the departments. It was filling up City Hall was like $2,500 or something that we wouldn't have normally spent, but other departments were less. Anyways, those are the actual numbers based on what we're spending right now. The vehicle fuel, that is the fire department for the ambulance and the fire truck. Insurance, 15% more than last year. Maintenance and repair, this is where the increase is, because the fire truck needs some maintenance on the pump something. It needs an oil change, or they all need oil changes, check engine light, and a pump. So obviously we want our fire truck to work. So that's what that is. Mileage reimbursement. Most of that money goes to the Marine Facilities Coordinator, about $1,200, I believe. Yeah, $1,200 to the Marine Facilities Coordinator, because their job is to drive around Gustavus all day long in their personal vehicle. Each department has a little bit of money allocated for mileage reimbursement, except for the library. Actually, I don't think there was any library reimbursement vehicle. Sol doesn't fill out his little book, and neither does Ian. So no change there. He is going to change that. Okay. So anyway, so here's where Janine, you'll see that the total expense this year, which is going to change a little bit based on the conversations that we're having tonight, is $1,179,000. Last year's total expense was $1,268,000. So almost $100,000 more in total expense. So that answers the question of why does this year do we not have as much money as last year? Because our expenses are approximately $91,000 less, $91,000 than they were last year. Well, yeah, we made more cuts, and that's why we're $91,000 less. Now, of course, again, we added in, you know, approximately $84,000 or $100,000. I can't remember the exact numbers last year after we knew what the carryover was, and we will do that again this year. And we'll prioritize once we know how much money is available. We as a body will prioritize what to add additional funds to, whether it's to the library, the DRC, the fire department, or road maintenance, gravel pit funds, whatever. But so anyways, that leaves us at 12,900 before changing the numbers. It left us at $12,925 short. I don't have any doubt that we can make up that money, that we won't have 13 extra $1,000 in carryover. So I would say that once I fix the stuff that we talked about tonight, that we add the additional $13,000 to carryover, call it $63,000 in carryover, the budget is balanced. Then we proceed into the work or the town hall. We meet with the community. We explain it to them in those terms with only carrying 63,000 over. And then once we know how much we actually have to carry over in the fiscal year in August, September, we amend the budget at that time.
Thank you for your work, really.
Well, sorry, there were some couple of slip ups, but does anybody want to talk about anything before we go? Because
no, it's 9:10.
Yeah, we've hit my bedtime. So
we'll be meeting. There'll be a town hall, Madam Clerk. Is that 6 o'clock next Wednesday? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, thanks everybody. It's 9:10, and this is the end. We're adjourning.